From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. Underneath are the everlasting arms. God, the eternal God, is Himself our support at all times, and especially when we are sinking in deep trouble. There are seasons when the Christian sinks very low in humiliation. Under a deep sense of his great sinfulness, he is humbled before God till he scarcely knows how to pray, because he appears in his own sight so worthless. Well, child of God, remember that when thou art at thy worst and lowest, yet underneath thee are the everlasting arms. Sin may drag thee ever so low, but Christ's great atonement is still under all. You may have descended into the deeps, but you cannot have fallen so low as the uttermost. And to the uttermost he saves. Again, the Christian sometimes sinks very deeply in sore trial from without. Every earthly prop is cut away. What then? Still underneath him are the everlasting arms. He cannot fall so deep in distress and affliction, but what the covenant grace of an ever-faithful God will still encircle him. The Christian may be sinking under trouble from within through fierce conflict, but even then he cannot be brought so low as to be beyond the reach of the everlasting arms. They are underneath him. And while thus sustained, all Satan's efforts to harm him avail nothing. This assurance of support is a comfort to any weary but earnest worker in the service of God. It implies the promise of strength for each day, grace for each need, and power for each duty. And further, when death comes, the promise shall still hold good. When we stand in the midst of Jordan, we shall be able to say with David, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We shall descend into the grave, but we shall go no lower, for the eternal arms prevent our further fall. All through life and at its close, we shall be upheld by the everlasting arms, arms that neither flag nor lose their strength. For the everlasting God fainteth not, neither is weary.
True.
a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it, several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his treatment of the 5th commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Although this commandment is usually perceived as addressing the relationship between parents and children, Dr. Cairns will show that it teaches a much wider application. We'll see that it extends to the whole concept of authority. The New Testament teaching is, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. In other words, man is to be subject to the various levels of authority which God has established, beginning with the Lord Himself. This is the divinely ordained basis for human society. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Can I say that parents will never successfully inculcate into their children a true sense of biblical honor for them and their authority if those same parents utterly despise the authority and the position of the Church of Jesus Christ and its rulership? It's a contradiction in terms. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. The 5th commandment then includes the authority of state, the authority of the Church. But even that is not the whole story. I hadn't really found anybody paying much attention to this until on a totally different matter. Just before I came to church tonight, I checked up what the late Martin Lloyd-Jones had to say, as I say, on a different matter, and I found in a passing reference that he was looking at this exactly the same way as I was, and I said, well, thank the Lord, I'm not completely out on a limb here. I think the 5th commandment... while we normally take it to be the 1st commandment of the 2nd table of the law, regulating our dealings with men and with authority on earth, nonetheless teaches us how we must react to God's authority. Because you see, the term father is the great term that's given to the Lord. Deuteronomy 14 verse 1, you are the children of the Lord your God. The Lord Jesus said, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Paul told the church at Rome in chapter 8, 15 and 16, ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's often been pointed out that the Abba part of that cry is the most intimate family expression. Without wanting to trivialize the scripture, the nearest we can come to it in the vernacular today is not father, but daddy. It is not the word that the slave would use. It's the word that the child uses to its father. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so, when we read in the fifth commandment, honor thy father, if we're going to honor our earthly parents, if we're going to honor our rulers, if we're going to honor the rule of grace in the church, then first and foremost we must honor our God. And while a man is living to despise his God, he cannot properly fulfill any other duty. He cannot discharge any other responsibility. He will be failing and contaminating every earthly relationship into which he enters, so long as he is despising the Lord his God. Because while these are written to Christians, and in every case here, the Father speaks of the Lord as Savior. Paul spoke to heathens in Acts 17, and he spoke of the whole of humanity. And he said, we are God's offspring. And in Malachi 2:10, we have the question, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? There is a sense in which this refers then to God the Creator. The fifth commandment then is teaching that all men should honor the Lord because He created them. But Christians especially should honor the Lord because He saved them. Now then, here's the full extent of the fifth commandment. God has ordered all human society on the basis of legitimate authority, which every one of us, saved and unsaved, should acknowledge and respect because we acknowledge and respect the authority of God Himself. Now that's what the fifth commandment is fully all about. But as soon as I say that, you'll recognize that's a huge subject. And it's much too big for me to get through in one message, or even two messages, or even three or four messages. Much too big. To do justice to the subject of the fifth commandment, as I have just set it forth, we would need to consider the biblical doctrine of legitimate authority, its proper exercise in the church and in the state, and then in the home. We would need to consider what the Bible teaches regarding the duties of citizens toward the state and the duties of the state towards its citizens. We would need to study the limits of state authority, as I mentioned this morning, to study the difference between authority and mere power. We would have to consider from Scripture the right of protest against the tyrannical abuse of power. And when and by whom a revolution against a government may be pursued. Some Christians believe it's never right to pursue a revolution against a government. In that case, every one of you should apply very quickly to the House of Parliament in England for citizenship once again, because you're all living in sin. However, if you understood Protestant theology, which is biblical theology, you would understand that there is a basis in Scripture, in the scriptural teaching of grades of magistrates. There is a basis in Scripture for a biblical revolution against tyrannical abuse of power. Does not rest in the hand of the individual. The Bible does not allow anarchy, even as an excuse to overthrow tyranny. The Bible does not advocate anarchy. But there is a biblical doctrine of the right to overthrow a tyrannical government. We would need to look at that. coming to the church, we would need to consider the nature and proper use of church power by the elders, the nature and the necessity of Christians joyfully submitting themselves to it. As I pointed out, that proud, selfish despising of legitimate authority, even in the church, will be a flagrant breach of the law of God, because it's despising God Himself. Now, those are big matters. Undeniably, those are important matters. Maybe if I were giving a theological lecture, I would take time to go through those in detail. Well, the Bible has much to say on them. Let me sum it all up and say that the main thing to recognize is that the law of God forbids unbridled individualism. And it commands a true respect and honor for legitimate authority. Now, that's as far as I can pursue those subjects, because I want to confine the study to the primary reference of the commandment, which is the proper attitude and actions of parents and children toward each other. Now, I set out with the intention of doing it all tonight, and I may yet do that. But Dr. Barrett is running short of time. He's to go and meet his wife. And, you know, I can't put a stress upon that marriage relationship, so I may not go too far, time-wise or otherwise, tonight. It may come as a shock when I include the duties of parents in the subject, when the text says it's addressed to children, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, think of the terms father and mother. Those are terms that must be understood in the full sense of the word. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, where the Apostle Paul was quoting, applying, and therefore expounding this fifth commandment. And he did speak to the children, but he also spoke to the parents. You can't divorce them. It's a little bit like when a husband comes and says, my wife's not in subjection. Well, she should be in subjection. He mightn't be all that he's supposed to be, but wife, you should be in subjection. And you should not be flaunting the legitimate desire and authority and instruction of your husband. You can't do that without flying in the face of God. But yet, so many times a husband comes and says, my wife's not in subjection. But what about the other part that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it? Very often those very husbands who are griping the loudest are the most self-centered creatures, and they simply waft in and out of the home as if they were visitors from outer space. Now, that does not in itself justify the wife's breach of the law of God, but it explains it in part. And similarly, parents who are always harping at their children, honor your father, honor your mother, while they themselves are not fulfilling the duties that the Bible sets down for fathers and mothers, will soon find that they're causing more harm than good. You see, parents are to be fathers and mothers. In the full sense of those terms, they're to fulfill the various functions which God in His Word ascribes to fatherhood and motherhood. I suppose the summary way in which to put that is that fathers are to reflect the fatherhood of God. Understand that. According to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, it is after God that every family in heaven and earth is named. The very idea of fatherhood comes from God. It's been the tragic experience of every pastor who has had much to do with people at all, to find that there are young people whose hearts are hardened toward God and their lives are twisted and tormented, where the very idea of the fatherhood of God is obnoxious to them because their only contact with fatherhood has been a contact with a selfish, cruel tyranny. Didn't we look at this when we were studying about Martin Luther, talking about the Reformation? Martin Luther, wanting to be saved, going into a monastery, yet hated the very thought of the fatherhood of God. Why? Because the only father he had ever known was a harsh and brutal taskmaster, and to him the word father meant such a thing. I tell you, every father here has got to remember that your fatherhood is to represent the fatherhood of God. And woe be to the man when his children stand before God the judge on the judgment day. Woe be to that man whose representation has been such a caricature of God as to make his children even hate the very name of God the Father. And mothers must reflect the role of the church. The church is the mother of us all, we have read. And the mother must reflect that role of care, of rule, with all the love of God. So there are duties for parents. I can sum them up in three things. Parents are first to instruct their children. Teaching is the primary duty of parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. This is just one of many texts that you could cite from the Word. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach them diligently. You remember what the Lord said of Abraham? I would to God he could say it of every father. He says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God looked down on Abraham and he says, I know that man. Of course, he knows every man. God's not fooled by the color of your skin or the smile in your face or the culture that you wrap yourself in. He's not fooled by that. God knows every man. I wonder tonight when he looks at you, can he say, I know that man, that he will command his home, his children, his household. He will teach them. He will instruct them. Parents are meant to spend time teaching their children.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.